morning, planet Earth. Good morning to my friends out there. Grid soldiers, Omega Force warriors, in Sector 48 and Zone 12, and all of the various quadrants and cells. It is August the 18th, 2026. It's right around, what time is it? 7:35 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And I'd like to talk about the dancing nurses. But Dan, you've talked about the dancing nurses. I know I've talked about the dancing nurses. Do you remember the dancing nurses? That's probably when most of us should have realized that the COVID, whatever it was also a joke. I mean, you can believe it was a bioweapon if you need to. I truly don't care. If you need to talk to me about vaccines and shedding, please, because it's how you're coping right now. But if you're going to scare millions of people into thinking they're sick, then you better have a counter-op that keeps them away from the hospitals, because you just might, you know, crash your entire healthcare system because you wanted to scare millions of people into thinking they had the deadliest virus ever. Yeah. And part of that counter-op was the respirators. And part of that counter-op was, you know, oh, don't go outside, don't go outside. They're filling in the skate park with sand. And part of it was the dancing nurses. Yes, it was also the vaccine fear. Oh, they got an experimental vaccine, and they're going to force you to take it. I mean, I got surgery. I went to the hospital in 2022, and they didn't care. They didn't test me, and they didn't care if I had a vaccine. But yeah, tell me more about the shit. I was a hobo, man. Still a hobo. Yeah. A lot of it never added up, but here's the thing. Those dancing nurses should have been a clue. In fact, it was an in-your-face thing. You can research every major epidemic in human history, and there are many things you'll find pictures of, but the chances you'll find pictures of nurses in hospitals or any type of care facility dancing around is almost zero. And I'm not saying hospitals didn't do this nutty stuff. I bet some of them did. But then you see the ritual, okay? It isn't really about the worst pandemic ever. It's about LARPing the worst pandemic ever and then turning it into a crooked musical. Yeah. And so now flash forward to the year 2026, and we've got Cheeto Bandito in the White House. And we have what? A war with Iran? A conflict with Iran? Is there a ceasefire? Is the Strait of Hormuz open? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But what we definitely have are these Lego videos. And something I noticed almost from the beginning is that it seemed as if, and I don't know how to phrase this, even with AI helping, all of it seemed a bit too polished. Not just in terms of the content, but in terms of the scheduling. And when you consider it was the United States that attacked them, then I suppose you could say, well, damn, they were just ready with a PSYOP capability. Maybe. But the dancing Lego videos, I'm calling them dancing Lego videos because in a lot of them, they dance. These dancing Lego videos look like the same garbage. And they should be one of the indications that something is a little bit off here. The other indication is I haven't read about or seen or heard through any source about Iran launching a hypersonic missile or a drone attack on Tel Aviv or Haifa or any target in the state of Israel. And the explanations I've received, and this has been, you know, several weeks, guys, since like the first week of April, During March, it looked like the state of Israel was going to topple. And then the first week of April, it more or less stops. And you have to ask yourself, why? Oh, Dan, it's because the Israelis have nuclear weapons. Really? Then I guess the Iranians do need nuclear weapons. But I'm pretty certain the Iranians knew this before the whole thing started. So none of this really adds up. And if you want to buy into it, if you need to buy into it, I get it. It's a form of coping. It's easier to believe a narrative that has a Hollywood ending. Someone's going to win the war. It'll be us or Iran. But I would ask you to play it out in your head. Do you really think the United States is going to invade Iran? I'm not saying that we don't have people who will say we should. There are always crazy people. Always crazy people. Throughout history, every age, there are people who are mentally disturbed. And sometimes they have power. And sometimes they exercise the power in the sunlight, and sometimes they do it in the shadows. And I would argue for much of human history, real power has always been in the shadows. And so the question you have to ask yourself, are the people in the shadows crazy? You see, Donald Trump is being paid, or he's being played. He's a character, or he's a, you know, conspirator. But in either case, he's participating in a LARP. Just like the dancing nurses, just like the endless COVID Fauci trauma drama. Was it a bat virus? Was it a bioweapon? Gain of function? Ivermectin every day at all? Like all, you know, cargo cults. Because the COVID was a cargo cult. Because there was money attached to it. And that's part of the way they cemented the memory. Once they started handing out those loans to people, it wasn't just the folklore of I knew this person or I knew that person. Then it became the kind of, cognitive dissonance of knowing that on some level you took blood money. You did. If you took a COVID loan and you didn't pay it back, you took blood money. And that's worse than anybody taking out a student loan and not paying it back, because that money you received is money related to a bogus hoax to basically keep you, well, at least keep you quiet. And within your circle, your sphere of influence, you can tell people, I knew somebody. I heard about somebody. They caught fire. You know, they caught fire. They got the COVID and then they exploded. Exploded. So be careful. Be careful of the stories you're reading about sailors being fed terrible food or no food at all on the ships. This might be happening, but folks, it would mean that you'd have to basically have your entire command in the Navy rotten. And I would say be careful of these dancing Lego videos. They're propaganda, but I don't think people fully understand who they're directed at. They need you to believe the narrative right now. And the narrative is we are in some type of half-ass, illegal, undeclared conflict with Iran. There is no legal basis for it. And if you take the Nuremberg principles at their basis, we're the war criminals. That's if you want to believe the story. And that story doesn't really end well because the rest of the world knows this. It's not really complicated. It's not confusing. The other part of the story is this: Iran hasn't launched a single fucking missile attack on Israel proper, which means, you know, Tel Aviv, Haifa at all, since the first week or second week of fucking April. That also doesn't add up. It doesn't make a lot of sense. You could make the argument that they're preparing for something, but they're also giving the Israelis time to prepare for something. Next topic. Dan, I love those dancing Legos. I know you do, Mr. Scrumbo. I don't know what you're talking about, Dan. I know you do, Mr. I don't know how to email. I just got an email from you. So this article comes from 10TV.com, headline, Columbia House is shutting down for good after 71 years. Columbia House, the mail order retailer that introduced generations of Americans to new music through its 12 CDs for a penny pitch, is shutting down. A notice posted to the company's website states that after September the 15th, 2026, Columbia House will no longer accept new orders. The company said existing memberships and outstanding purchases will still be honored as the business winds down. The closure was first reported by Cord Cutters News and spotted on YouTube. Columbia House dates back to 1955, when Columbia Records, then a division of CBS, launched the Columbia Record Club, an experimental mail-order service aimed at reaching customers outside the reach of traditional record stores. The model offered a handful of albums for a penny, in exchange for the commitment to buy more at regular prices. It became a cultural touchstone, especially for teenage Gen Xers. At its peak in the mid-90s, Columbia House generated more than $1 billion a year in revenue. As the media landscape shifted, the company changed hands and rebranded multiple times in 2005, was sold to BMG. Later, it was sold to JMCK Corp, rebranding it as Direct Brands or Dildos for Sale. Stop right there. Blah, blah, blah. Canadian operations for decades, recent years. News of Columbia House's demise resulted in some nostalgia. Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's done, guys. Columbia House Records is done. If you owed them money, they're probably going to sell, you know, the collections to some Indian company. And so now you're going to get calls from Pakistan or India about that whatever, Enya's best hits you said you were going to pay for, but you didn't. Or maybe some Billy Joel. Or some Sarah McLachlan. Oh yeah, you got that Beatles history album. Or the Beach Boys fucker. What about Frank Sinatra? What about that Christmas album? The one with Nat King Cole. That's right. You still owe them, and they're going to come for their 49 cents. But what can you really get for 49 cents? What can you get for 49 cents? What can I get for 49 cents? Can't pay the rent. My truck has a dent. I committed a theft. Woman done left. Dog in a hole. I can't smoke a bowl. For Christmas, there's only coal. For 49 cents. What do you think of that, gent? What would I do for a bucket of goo? A bucket of goo that feeds my whore wife and brings her to life. For goo, for me, and for you, we'll work in the caves and go to the raves. For a bucket of goo, what would I do? Will my balls turn blue? Will my woman stay true? Or coo 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 with another man like Uncle Stan? He works in Japan. That's what she'd do. What would I do? What do I smell? Like hell, sulfur and tin, copper and wet, you bet. There's a crimson stain near the brain, leaking tea, don't you see what I smell? You can see what I smell, don't you? For 49 fucking cents. Where can I live? Where the sieve can give that purer wine that's fine in summer and never a bummer. Forked women laying in wait by the pudding grate. Too late, something has to give. Where can I live? How do I breathe after you leave, baby? And the lake turns cold, and I drink the brown mold, the juice of the earth, from birth to death. Every smelly breath, snot on my sleeve. How do I breathe after you leave? How do I run when the fun drains away and we're shuffling all day, lurching and crouching and slouching our way, sustained by fire, we never tire, we never stop. Huh, are you a cop? How do I run? Where is my friend? Where is my friend? When you're burning at the end, you descend into hell, you ring a bell, and then you say, hey friend, oh well, only silence in the hall, grab a ball, do not tell, the sitting prince, he condescends. Where is the friend? So I gotta say, 49 cents, you don't really get much. I have a link to an article about a black bear chasing a hiker and the hiker's dog in Whatcom County. Again, I'm not gonna read this article because you can if you want to. This kind of thing happens. But it did make me think of ROTAB, the Republic of Tigers and Bears, and how amazing it would be to have a chutes and ladders funkification of ordinary society. You got bears. You got grizzly bears. You got polar bears. And you keep them in cages. You feed them a little, but you don't feed them a lot. And then people walk down the street and they hit some button or something. Maybe they open a door and it triggers something and a grizzly pops out. And they gotta be ready for Freddy. And what if it was a tiger? You could take tigers and lions and ligers, cougars, panthers. Can't you put them in cages? Can't you have them ready? So when you walk down the street and you push a button, maybe it's some sort of trap or booby trap, and that makes you the booby, Mr. and Mrs. Booby. And that would change society. People would start wearing swords. Like, I think I'd carry a samurai sword. People would learn all kinds of weapons like pikes and lances. You name it. People would actually get into better shape. And those that didn't want to, well, I'll tell you something. They'll end up in one shape, maybe. The shape of the stool, right? Oh, my God, Dan. Yeah, So watch out for the bears in Whatcom County. Whatever. So this is an entry from sciencefocus.com. And the entry title is, what's the longest time that somebody has been constipated? In 2013, a 28-year-old woman from Chambor, India, had to have surgery to remove a football-sized fecal mass after 45 days without a bowel movement. It's not known what caused it, but other cases of extreme constipation have been linked to spinal cord damage or rare medical conditions which affect the nerves controlling the muscles of the intestine. Sufferers cannot poo normally and must rely on enemas and laxatives. Now, I say this because you've heard me talk about Omega Force, and you've heard me talk about the water diet, okay? Oh, I got a call from someone. Hello, somebody. Goodbye, somebody. I loved you, somebody. Go to hell, somebody. Bye. Yeah, there we go. You've heard me talk about the water diet, which again, I'm still working on it. The longest I've dieted water, which means the longest I've gone without water, is about 4 days so far. I started peeing red, so that wasn't really great, but I'm working on it. If I build up my tolerance, I can go without water for maybe 2 weeks, you know? And if you do this, you lose a shit ton of weight because it's really most of you is water. And it's just, it's really the natural, but you know the other thing, it's a very Omega Force thing to do. You don't drink water, you don't sleep, but another thing about Omega Force, we also don't poop. We don't poop in Omega Force. Now, the longest I've gone without pooping, I think, was when I broke my arm and I was on Percocet and I did not drink enough water and I was eating a cheeseburger each day. I think I went about 4 or 5 days. And I think, I want to say that was, it felt like 8 pounds. It was probably more like 3 to 4 pounds. But I was in labor Christmas Eve, just like, you know, the whole baby Jesus thing, except that's disrespectful because, you know, my child is a septic tank baby. Poor little septic tank baby lost in Roosevelt, Utah. Just gone forever. Gone forever, septic tank baby. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you, septic tank baby. Anyways, yeah, Omega Force doesn't drink water. Omega Force doesn't go to the bathroom. We don't sleep. You know, if someone went 45 days without pooping, I'm guessing Omega Force can go at least 180 days without pooping. And once you stop drinking water, you go without peeing for a long time too. Maybe forever. And this article comes from king5.com. Headline, 8-year-old boy catches unexpected exotic fish in Pennsylvania lake. A father and son went fishing at a Pennsylvania lake for a quick bonding trip and caught more than what they expected. When 8-year-old Seamus Coffee started reeling in his catch Saturday morning, he and his father, Michael Coffee, knew he'd hook something big. I was like, slow down, dude. You might lose it, Michael said. This looks like something we haven't caught before. It definitely wasn't something they'd seen in Ridley Park Lake. I was like, oh, it's like a bluegill. I don't know what this is. And he said, it's a piranha, Michael said. How did Seamus come to that conclusion? I watch YouTube, he said, and he was right. According to Mike Parker from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, Our biologists have confirmed that this is some species of piranha. While the surprise catch gave the duo a story to tell, Parker said it's evidence of a larger issue. I think a lot of times people have a dream. I want to own an exotic shit fish. I want to own a great white shark. I want to own a giant squid. I want to own an anaconda. I want to own a poisonous frog. I want to own a man-eating spider, or a crocodile, or an alligator, or a poisonous bat. And it's cute when it's small, but maybe they can't afford that or house it anymore, and they decide maybe it's time to take the animal to the farm. But it's too sad to take him to the farm, hint, hint. So they drop him off in the woods or the swamp. They leave the wretched creature to fend for itself in nature. Piranhas are tropical fish native to South America, and it would not have survived Pennsylvania waters for long. It also could be disruptive to the lake ecosystem. Even if the law says that you're allowed to own an exotic pet, whether that be a fish or a reptile, you're not allowed to introduce that species into the wilds of Pennsylvania, so that is unlawful. You can be fined, prosecuted, Parker said. Michael said he and his son got rid of the piranha humanely, which Parker said was the right move. Seamus said he wasn't scared of those razor-tooth-filled fish, and his number one hobby remains unchanged. Little Seamus gonna keep on fishing. You keep fishing, Seamus. Watch out for those snakehead, though. So, we've talked about this issue related to the Burmese python. And I'm going to say this because people get confused. If you're upset about the forests in California dying, don't blame the beetle. It's the wrecking crew. If you're upset about all the homeless people that surround your brand new converted garage, bungalow, cracked foundation for half a mil, don't blame the homeless people. They're like the Beatles, okay? And in this particular case, if you think it's because random hobos and random rednecks and random people get themselves a fish and release it, that's not the issue either. People have been moving animals around the planet for a long time. In fact, this is a practice that goes back to ancient times. So you can imagine a Phoenician cruiser, I don't know, about 3,000 years ago, moving all kinds of exotic bullshit so some king can have a monkey or an orangutan or a chimp and say, hey, I'm the chimp king, until the chimp chimps out. And then you have to send the army after the chimp because chimps are tough as F. Yeah. This is not new, folks. What changes is that the ecosystems that were once not suitable for things like a Burmese python become suitable. For a long time, if you put a Burmese python into the Everglades, it would live for a while, and then the winter would come, and it would get cold enough that it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't survive. The situation would change too much. Well, what's changing isn't the fact that Burmese python are getting better at living here. What's changing is that the environment's changing. And this is something people don't want to accept. They get stuck in this Democrat-Republican nonsense. Oh, Dan, it's the Republicans, it's the Democrats. The piranha in Pennsylvania is a joke. But folks, I'll tell you straight up, things like bull sharks are moving further north up the Mississippi and the Missouri. This is happening. Alligators are expanding their territory because that's what alligators do. They breed, you know, fairly prodigiously, and they're fairly rugged creatures as long as they got the right temperature and humidity combo plate. But you give them enough water, enough heat, and alligators do pretty well. And that region where alligators can live is expanding. Do I think you'll see alligators in Indianapolis next year? Probably not next year, but could you see alligators in Indianapolis in 15 years? And the answer is, yeah. Do I seriously think we're going to have our first great white shark attack this summer in the Puget Sound? No, not really. I hope not, because that would be awful. But the fact is, the Puget Sound is changing. The orca pods aren't as strong as they used to be. The water isn't as cold as it used to be. And the food out in the Pacific ain't as plentiful as it used to be. And they've already noted that shark species are migrating into the Puget Sound. So why wouldn't a great white, a Carcharion carcharias, maybe a 25-footer, you know, stake its claim off of West Beach one of these summers? And it sounds awful, but, you know, I liked that movie growing up as a kid, Jaws. It was good. It was a good summertime movie. The snakehead fish, they want to eradicate it. They never will. And again, there's a couple variants. There's the larger southern snakehead and there's a smaller northern. The northern snakehead is fairly stuck in the Chesapeake. And from what I've heard, no matter what they do, the greatest heroic efforts, it's expanding its claim. Now, there are other creatures that will come in and take advantage. It's not like, in some ways, nature illustrates the truth of everything. These empires don't last forever. Just because a snakehead goes into some area and takes over doesn't mean it gets to rule forever. Something else will come along, maybe even a virus or bacteria, and that snakehead won't do so great. And so this type of thing doesn't, you know, it isn't an infinite feedback. Okay, it doesn't mean that the whole world gets filled with a Burmese python. But we do need to be careful when we're reading these stories about invasive species because, well, let's be blunt. Almost every species throughout history has been invasive. You know, this happens. Okay, creatures move about. Even before humans, they moved about. Nature is funny that way. And not just animals, but even more prodigiously, I would say the plant life. It can move about. You know, birds can move it about. It just can. These things can happen. It's not that. It's never been the case that these ecosystems are completely sealed off. So I would say a good rule of thumb in the coming decades is be flexible. If you live in Ohio, and you think it could be an alligator, it might be an alligator. If you live in Georgia and you think it could be an anaconda, it might be an anaconda. And if you live in Florida and you think it's Bigfoot, you might be doing too much cocaine. It is August the 18th, 2026. It's just after 8 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. I haven't really done this much in recent months or the last year or so, really. I do it once in a while, and I even shut down my PayPal link, and then I turned another one on just to show you how inconsistent I am. If you have the resources to donate to this podcast, it is helpful, because ultimately, those funds either go to pay directly or indirectly to keep it going. But most people I know don't, and probably all the real humans that listen to this probably don't have any money. That being said, before you ever donate to anybody's podcast or pay a paywall or anything like that, before you waste money on that kind of garbage, make sure you take care of your food, water, shelter. That's number one. Believe you me, I know that these days. I get to the middle of the month and I got 50 cents left. Make sure you take care of your food, water, shelter. If there are people in your life that need help, help them first. It's a lot like the putting the mask on thing. Similar. If you have a dog or cat and you're stockpiling a little bit of food to take care of your family for 6 months to a year, which is, as I've said in the past, optimism, because I don't think anybody's basement's big enough, but it does make sense to prepare some. So if you've got 6 months of food for your family, or a year's worth, make sure you're thinking about your pets, okay? Really, make sure you are. You should be aware of that. You should be mindful of that. And if you've taken care of all these things, God bless. Make sure you're trying to enjoy your life too, because nobody really knows what's coming. I have a fear that's not good, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means a rough patch, right? Humans, we're crazy, crazy monkeys. We're crazy, flexible, crazy monkeys. We humans can react and respond. We have teeth filled with disease. So there's a link to PayPal. I'm trying to unify around a common ID for my last attempt at, you know, internet fame of gingerbread. That's golf, the number one, November, Juliet. Romeo, Bravo, Romeo, the number three, Delta, or gingerbread, G1NJRBR3D, gingerbread. And gingerbread is my ID on PayPal, but there's a PayPal link in the notes. And gingerbread is my ID in other places. And I don't know if it's going to make one hill of beans worth of coffee worth the difference. I don't really care about Hills Brothers coffee at this point. Folks, it's all too strange. I mean, if you want to believe that the president has said that we're going to make the Strait of Hormuz an American territory, and that that can happen, if that's something you need to believe, I get it. But it's probably not going to happen. It's a lot like that Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The likelihood that we're going to rename or control the Strait of Hormuz probably is equivalent to the likelihood that that bridge is ever going to get rebuilt. But then again, so much of this looks fake and strange and absurd, so who knows. Anyways, it is August the 18th. It is 2026. It's 8:11 a.m. Have a great rest of your day, Scrumbo. I love you. I love you.